It's the last day of the SAFM Market Update show for this week, so we take a closer look at some of the international themes dominating the narratives that tend to influence market sentiment and behavior. There's a lot of speculation around the US Fed cutting rates this month. Gold has been doing wonders, although it's been a bit volatile, and of course the oil price remains well above $60 a barrel following OPEC and Russia's decision to extend their oil output cuts for a further 9 months. Well, to talk through these matters and more, I'm joined on the line by Luqman Otunga. He's a currency and markets analyst from FXTM. Thanks very much for joining us, Luqman. Goldman Sachs has come out to say that it expects yields on 10-year US treasuries to likely fall to around 1.75% by the end of the year. My understanding is that the market expects a low interest rate environment for quite some time. Does this signal a positive sign for emerging markets which offer better yields than developed markets?
Yeah, this is a very worrying prediction for Goldman Sachs and actually confirms my thoughts on this false sense of market stability. So let me break things down. When yields in US Treasuries fall, it simply means that bond prices are increasing. Bond prices tend to increase when investors are concerned over the global economy and they want to park their cash into a safer destination other than stocks. So yields falling to 1.75% at the end of the year does paint a gloomy picture. In regards to lower rates, yes, it looks like the Federal Reserve, Bank of England and other major developed banks are en route to cutting rates to countering a global slowdown. And this is a welcome development for emerging markets, especially when you consider interest rates in South Africa around 6.7%. Turkey is around 17.75%. Even Nigeria is around 13.5%. So in the near term, the widening interest rate differentials between developed nations and developing nations will be very good and should encourage capital inflows. But this is the near term. In the longer term, though, as long as global trade concerns still remain a major theme, emerging markets may still feel the heat.
So what's the expectation for the US June non-farm payroll numbers this Friday following a poor jobs number for May? And will a further disappointment likely see the US Fed cut rates later this month, especially because the market expects that?
Yeah, after last month's really dismal NFP of around 75K, I believe the pending one is very significant to market sentiment and also what the Fed does in the second half of 2019. If we're looking at this week and even last week, leading indicators are actually painting a mixed picture. We had ADP, which was around 102K, which was quite disappointing. But when we look at US manufacturing, it's actually expanded in June. So there's a lot of guesstimations out there. Markets are expecting around 160 to 170K. Really, I feel that there's a bigger risk of a disappointment despite the trade truce because the US labor markets are being tested by ongoing US-China trade tensions. Now, should the jobs report disappoint, this will encourage the Federal Reserve to pull the trigger on cutting interest rates this month and further.
So we're speaking after the G20 talks over the last weekend, or at least they ended around Saturday or so. Of course, the US-China trade issues overshadowed everything. But do you have any views around what came out of that gathering and how it's setting the tone for the global economy for the second half of the year?
Yes, the biggest takeaway was that the two largest economies in the world are taking a break from trade tensions. And this is going back to what I've seen about that false sense of market stability. And we could see across global equity markets, risky assets are pushing higher. And there's this feel-good effect that we are going to have a happy ever after. But really, nothing has changed. And I just feel a familiar sense of deja vu because we've seen this before. The old tariffs are still in place. They're still impacting global growth, and many times in the past when we have such an outcome, there's a period of calm and trade tensions start to flare up. For example, this week Donald Trump went to Twitter and actually branded China and Europe as currency manipulators. Naturally, a thing like this will heighten trade tensions and could result in the truce coming apart. So this is why I'm saying nothing much has changed, and really as we head into the second half of 2019, uncertainty over global trade developments will continue weighing on sentiment.
More of the same.
Yeah.
And then with all the geopolitical tensions that you're referring to, they're still in the air and a fair bit of risk of trading taking place of late. Gold has proven to be quite a stunner, although very volatile. before, you know, when there was a risk-off situation, you didn't get the sense that people were jumping into gold. But of late, that's certainly been happening. Just tell us what you're observing around gold and whether you think it's worth people investing a little bit of their portfolio in it.
Yeah, I agree. This is gold's time to shine. Gold has rallied roughly 9% in the second quarter of 2019. And the environment is ripe for gold to continue shining. And especially miners in South Africa are probably rubbing their hands and licking their lips because this is a very, very good market environment for gold. We have geopolitical tensions, dollar weakness, expectations over the Fed cutting interest rates, expectations over other major central banks cutting interest rates. So this is a low interest rate environment for zero yielding gold. All the pieces are in place for gold to push higher. And going back to what we're saying about treasury yields falling to 1.75% at the end of the year, well, gold is inversely correlated with yields. So when yields tend to fall, gold prices push higher. So overall, I'm bullish on gold. And for as long as prices can keep above the 1,400 level, don't be surprised if gold bulls aim for the stars and try to attack 1,500.
Let's wait and see. And then the oil price, it's stubbornly remaining above $60 a barrel. And of course, it seems to be the case more so now that OPEC and Russia decided to maintain their output, their oil output cuts for a further 9 months. What changes, if any, do you expect on the oil front?
When we're looking at oil prices, even though they're trading around those levels, overall, I did feel a sense of disappointment from markets. Markets wanted more. What OPEC Plus and Russia have done haven't really changed anything much because even though geopolitics and supply cuts could create some short-term bottom in oil prices, we know that as long as concerns over slowing global growth, thanks to trade tensions, continue to, you know, leave investors on edge, there's fears that there's not enough demand to keep oil prices higher. And this is what's going to continue driving oil as we move in the second half of 2019. It's very interesting how everything is interlinked. All we need to see is signs of trade tensions flaring up and U.S. shale production even increasing. Keep in mind that production is already around past 12 million barrels a day. These two things are enough to push oil prices lower.
And then coming to our local economy, South Africa, of course, our rand has done quite nicely, pushing through that 14 against the US dollar. I think it traded as well as 13.92 earlier. Is this a picture that you're seeing right across emerging market currencies, or is it unique to South Africa?
The South African rand has woken up on the right side of the bed today, I can say that. It's actually appreciated against every single G10 currency, and it's one of the high flyers in the emerging market space. So this appreciation goes far beyond dollar weakness. It's actually due to an improved sentiment towards the South African rand. Now, the drivers behind this is, number one, we had the business confidence report yesterday, which was quite encouraging. At the same time, one key thing to keep in mind is actually petrol prices in South Africa have dropped for the first time in 6 months in July. This is very good, keeping in mind how South Africa is an energy importer. So really, lower petrol prices is good news for everyone. When you're going to work, you're using less to go to work. Even businesses are using less. And it has this positive ripple effect, which is going to add to the optimism over South Africa potentially avoiding a credit downgrade sometime in November, but it's too early, but all the pieces are slowly coming into place.
That was Lukman Otunga. He's a currency and markets analyst from FXTM.